as they've been doing. Last week we heard the words from Psalm 42 and 43, and this week we're going to hear from Psalm 62 and 63. I selected these two in part because I felt like the ones the Lord was leading me to preach and to teach on today, because the themes are connected. Much like 42 and 43, those two psalms had some common themes, so does 62 and 63. And I wanted us to focus a little bit on those themes. So let me first read the word of the Lord to you today. I'll start with 62. It's a song of trust in God alone. For God alone my soul waits in silence. From him comes my salvation. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress, and I shall never be shaken. How long will you assail a person? Will you batter your victim, all of you, as you would a leaning wall or a tottering fence? Their only plan is to bring down a person of prominence. They take pleasure in falsehood and they bless with their mouths, but inwardly they curse. For God alone, my soul waits in silence, for my hope is from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress, and I shall not be shaken. On God rests my deliverance and my honor. My mighty rock, my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Those of low estate are but a breath. Those of high estate are a delusion. In the balances they go up. They are together lighter than a breath. Put no confidence in extortion, and set no vain hopes on robbery. If riches increase, do not set your heart upon them. Once God has spoken, twice I have heard this, that power belongs to God, and steadfast love belongs to you, O Lord. For you repay to all according to their work. And then in Psalm 63, we hear the words of King David. But we hear these words when he was in the wilderness of Judah. Think about your own wilderness and what that looked like for you. Hear his words. O God, you are my God, and I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. And my flesh faints for you. As in a dreary, dry, and weary land where there is no water, so I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory, because your steadfast love is better than life. My lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. I will lift up my hands and call on your name. My soul is satisfied as with a rich feast, and my mouth praises you with joyful lips. When I think of you on my bed and meditate on you in the watches of the night, for you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I sing for joy. My soul clings to you, and your right hand upholds me. But those who seek to destroy my life shall go down into the depths of the earth. They shall be given over to the power of the sword, and they shall be prey for the jackals. But the king shall rejoice in God. All who swear by him shall exult, for the mouths of liars will be stopped. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. O holy God, we have gathered here together today, gathered to hear a word from you. My prayer, Lord, as their pastor, is that you and your Spirit would fall afresh upon them, that they would hear a new and fresh word from you today, both as a congregation, as a family of believers, but also individually for their own lives and whatever journey that they might be on in this season. Speak a word unto them, Lord. Speak your holy will, your holy desire. Speak it unto your children gathered here so that they might know in which way they should go once they step foot outside of this sanctuary. Help them, Lord God, to worship you and you alone. Open their eyes and break their hearts for what breaks yours. And give them the strength and the courage to love as you have first loved us. To give grace just as grace has been given to us. But also give them strength and creativity and dreams. Holy dreams for your kingdom and your glory. Amen. Our songs, you see, tell us a lot about ourselves and the state of our spiritual selves. Don't believe me? Listen to the radio the next time you're in the car. Tell me what you hear. Songs can do this sometimes in ways that other things cannot, in part because sometimes with songs, our true selves are revealed. Music can often bring folk together when nothing else can, when it's used in the right way. Songs can embody a spirit of protest. They can also embody a spirit of longing and of fear. They can also embody courage, love, and grace. It's why the Psalms, I think, are so interesting and helpful, because the Psalms reflect back to us a bit of ourselves, as well as reveal to us the nature of God. Told the other couple of congregations, I've served a church at one time where I watched a gentleman Sunday after Sunday would open up his hymn book, his wife standing next to him, she would always sing the words of the hymns, and he would never sing the words. Sometimes as a pastor, I'm watching and observing from my perspective as the pastor. There are lots of things that I take notice of, not in a way of judgment, but just to observe the nature and the condition of the spirit of God's people. And as I watched this gentleman, I wondered, why does he not sing? Why does he stand stone still with the hymnal in his hand and nothing coming out? And over time, I started to understand why, because for him, sometimes the reflection was painful. He held bitterness in his heart, family squabbles that had not been settled or even voiced. You know what that's like? Things that you hold within yourself about your family situation that you try not to speak aloud for the sake of keeping the peace. He also struggled with his faith. He was a faithful Christian in that he was in church every Sunday, participated in fundraisers and mission work, without fail. But he held a secret. A lack of conviction about the nature of Jesus Christ. Why? Because as an engineer, he could not make logical sense of the gospel. So you see, he held trouble in his spirit. It's hard to wrestle with that. It's hard to sing sometimes when we're wrestling in our spirit. It's hard to see that reflection back upon us. These two psalms tell us one of the nature of God, an aspect of his personality, and who he is for us. Throughout both psalms, we hear of a God who is a rock, who is steadfast, who is a refuge. David reminds us of whom all good things come, because that's who he is singing about in most of the psalm. His soul thirsts for God and God alone. Much like what we heard in Psalm 42 and 43. We thirst for God as a deer pants for water. David, in his wilderness, did not give up on God, did not forsake God, but turned to God as the very source of everything he needed in that wilderness. Now, sometimes wilderness, in this case, was likely a physical location, as the psalm tells us, believed to have been written while he was in the wilderness of Judah. The wilderness can be a tough terrain, an unforgiving place, difficult, full of danger. But wilderness can also be a season of our lives. Perhaps when we go to the doctor and we hear that dreadful C word, that can be a wilderness. Haiti, I would argue, is in a season of wilderness. They have been in a long season of wilderness, unfortunately. What does your own wilderness look like? Are you in one now? And what do you rely on? Do you remember a particular wilderness of your life that has since passed? What got you through? I can tell you from personal experience, divorce is its own kind of wilderness, and it is hard. What do you rely on in your wilderness? Are you David, who turns to the one thing, to the one person he knows is there without fail? Or do we turn, like these folks spoken of in Psalm 62, to the things which vanish like a puff of air? You hear what verse 9 and 10 says? Those of low estate are but a breath. Those of high estate are a delusion, and the balances, they go up. They are together lighter than a breath. What does that mean? Lighter than a breath. I'll read to you a quote from one of the devotional mini books I have at home. Some of you know how many I have. It's a lot. We see this word, a word that we see also in Ecclesiastes, a phrase that carries the root meaning of breath in the original Hebrew. All your earthly endeavors, he says in Ecclesiastes, are just hot air. People put a lot of stock in who's rich and who's poor, who's famous and who's ordinary. But from God's perspective, these people are about as weighty as a breath, a puff of air. All their wealth, fame, and power does not add 1 ounce, not 1 ounce, to their weight in the eternal scheme of things. How much weight do we place in these things? Some of you might be quick to dismiss this and say, I don't put much weight on them. Really? Some pastors will say that you can tell what somebody really puts weight in by looking at their checkbook or their banking account. Ooh. That might hold some truth to it. How much weight do we place in our house, where we live, what the address is, what kind of car we drive, what our business card says our title is? How much weight do we put in a person, an institution, an organization, a regime, a political party, a president, a ruler? Or how much weight do we place in what other people think of us? That's a biggie. I would say in today's culture, we place a lot of weight in what other people think of us, which has given so much rise to social media, right? Where we can edit our image. We can put forth what we want to put forth. Not always truth, right? Not always truth. How much weight do we place in these things? How much weight do we put in this building? It's a good question. How much weight do we put in the things which we do? I used to put a lot of weight in the things which I wrote. There was nothing more thrilling than picking up a newspaper every day and seeing what held my byline. I love seeing my name in print. It's thrilling all the time. And after a while, once I learned how it worked, it became thrilling to earn plaques, awards from the South Carolina Journalist Association. 1 year, I got the top honor in the state, Journalist of the Year. It was nice. I'm not going to lie. After the ceremony was over, all these folks I didn't know were coming over to me that worked at bigger papers were congratulating me on the award. How many years later now? 10, 15 years later? I don't even know where the plaque is. Have no idea. A couple of moves later, I have no idea where that plaque is. The editor that I work for, two of them in fact, have gone on to whole different careers. Things are fleeting. That at one time we placed so much effort, so much focus on, and then they're gone like a puff of air. I would say that the folks who think they are in power right now in Haiti, give it some time, and hopefully they will no longer be in power. right? I know a family currently in Anderson County that understands painfully what that puff of air thing is all about, because they're grieving the loss of a beloved son, husband, and father who simply went out to get a full tank of gas in a pickup truck and never came home. You see, God has a longer view than we do. We are earthly creatures with very limited vision. You know, we often talk about teenagers and how they are bullied today and their lack of foresight into the future, but in reality, we are all this way. We might be able to see tomorrow, maybe think into next week, plan out our calendars, and that's all helpful. But what we have to remember is that it's all temporary. Our vision is so limited. We're like the teenagers who think sometimes that what matters is the right here and the right now. And it does matter, yes. But it is not what we should place all our hope and trust in. Why? Because we've got all of eternity. We don't often think about eternity. We think about what we're going to do next Friday night or next Saturday, maybe. Maybe we think about the next board meeting that's coming up. Maybe we think about what house we're going to retire in, right? Those are good goals to have, no doubt. As I was looking at this scripture, I thought about these two places in Anderson County, because that's where I've spent most of my time in South Carolina. It's where some of my stories come from for now. There were two buildings. There was the Coleman Recreation Center and the Shepherd Swim Center. And they, for years, were places where kids could go and learn how to swim, or people could go in the community to a concert. I took my dad and my mom and all my family to see Ralph Stanley one year when he came to the Coleman Recreation Center, because if you love bluegrass, you just can't get much better than Ralph Stanley, right? Billy Graham preached at the Coleman Rec Center once upon a time. At the Shepherd Swim Center, kids practiced for swim meets, played in the little splash pad. Both of those places are no longer there. My guess is, when they were named, the Shepherd Swim Center and the Coleman Rec Center, the families, those two families, the Coleman family and the Shepherd family, thought this is such an amazing feat to have our family name on this building. It'll always be here. Nothing of this world is permanent. Not a thing. See, it's a tricky bit of irony, isn't it? Because it feels permanent, doesn't it? This feels permanent, right? It ain't moving, right? John Ledford did a beautiful job carving and making this. I'm not saying we don't work for those things, that we don't put forth the effort, but what we have to always remember is that all of it fades. All of it goes away. The one thing that matters is God at the center of it all. What God has placed in us. In other words, when the kids at school, well, y'all get to homeschool, isn't that wonderful? You don't have to deal with bullies, but if at some point you have to deal with bullies, Their opinion of you is not what matters. What matters is that God made you and God called you His own. Our worth is in what God has done for us, in us, and what He does through us. That's what never fades. That's what remains. That is what remains. Nothing else. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that just fabulous? That's what remains. And the beautiful part of that is that no matter what we can create and how beautiful it is, and we can make some really beautiful things, we can be just creative beyond belief. Judith Brown knows how to dye fabric in a way that just baffles me. I absolutely love what she can make. But that is nothing compared to what God is creating for us. Nothing. The kingdom He is making for us cannot compare to the most beautiful thing we can do. We put so much work and effort into being and putting on these masks and to doing and to producing and all of this stuff and climbing the corporate ladder and having the nice fancy house and the nice pretty car, all of that effort into things that eventually will just fade. And yet, God is what never fades. God is steadfast. Hesed. I want you to always remember that word. If there's nothing else that I teach or preach in the time that I am with you, I want you to remember that word. Hesed. H-E-S-E-D. It is the one word that is consistently used throughout Scripture to describe God. What does it mean? The best translation we can come up with is steadfast love. And even that doesn't capture the magnificence of who God is. Isn't that amazing? That is just absolutely amazing. How is it that we don't go from this place dancing and singing and shouting that from the rooftops? I understand now why David got so excited. Now, I ain't getting naked now, I'm just saying. But I don't say any of us should get that way, right? I told him this at Todd, and I'm not saying, you know, because he danced up to the temple without any clothes. But, you know, that was David. But what I am saying is this, is that let it just pour out of us, right? Pour out of us with joy and courage and creativity. If we put forth half the effort into proclaiming the goodness of God that we put into everything else, think about how beautiful the world would be. If we put aside our fear, which is all that is taken and run havoc in Haiti, it's nothing but fear manifesting itself into violence. That's all it is. A fear of who's going to have food at the end of the day. A fear of who's going to have the most money. A fear of who's got the most guns and the most power. A fear is driving everything in that country right now. Fear. Fear drives some of our worst behaviors. Fear, and fear alone. It's what caused the first fall. A fear of not knowing what God knew. Fear. Because sometimes we don't place our trust in the thing that will never fail us. Ever. Hesed. Steadfast. Never moving. Never departing from us, refusing. to be without us, that's our God. So let's sing it from the rooftops. Let's dance in the streets. Let's get silly and crazy and wonderful in front of our neighbors and strangers for the sake of the King. Let it pour out of us in every way we can think of. Just pour out of us with joy, with thanksgiving, and with singing.